Hey everybody, welcome. Susan Baracco. Welcome to the coaching call for July 9th. Beautiful day where I am. Beautiful summer day. Hope all is well where you are. Glad to have you guys on board. If you would please say hello in the chat so that I know that my audio is working properly and that you can hear me. And if you'd like, feel free to share in our starting question. We've got another minute or two before we will be diving in. Thanks, Scott. Thank you, Sam. Be another minute or two, just waiting for people to join us. So feel free to dive in and tell me what your favorite summertime food is, just for fun. Hey, Laird and Chris, glad you guys are here. Steak pizza for lunch. Mark that one down. That sounds great. Watermelon. Yeah, what is it with watermelon? Cheryl, hey, hot in Dubuque. What is the temperature there? Give us an idea of what the temps are. It's humid where I am, but not that hot. I'm in Maine, and it's a very steamy day, but not warm, but not that hot. Cold grapes and melon. Lower 90s. Wow. Yeah. That's no fun. Hope you've got some good air conditioning to sit in and work in. That always helps, that's for sure. My favorite summertime food, actually, although I eat it all year round, is lobster. I do tend to eat a lot more lobster in the summer. Of course, I get it right down the street, so it's kind of nice. But yeah, that's my lobster is my thing. Who else is here? Let me take a quick look. Gabrielle, welcome. Glad you're here. Awesome. Gabrielle, mangoes, yum. Another vote for watermelon. Yum. Oops. Moving my slides around here on you. Sorry about that. All right. Well, it is the top of the hour, so we'll dive in. I'm going to start with my question for all of you, our usual, starting with asking you to share a win, whether it's big or small. Please type a capital W in the chat and tell me what has been going on for you. What's been going well? Even if it's something simple and small, a win is a win. A step forward is a step forward, no matter how you slice it. We'd love to be able to celebrate with you. So please let me know what's been going on as you've been going through the program. And don't be shy today. We've got... Or Scott says, is this a win? I finally have a hit list of people to contact. Absolutely. You got to start somewhere. And that's a big win. Actually, sometimes that can take time. When you're first looking through your network of people, I think it's hard to decide, ooh, do I want to send something out? Do I want to reach out to this, person or not? Maybe it's been a long time. Maybe it's, there could be a whole host of reasons why you feel hesitant to reach out. So if that's a hit list of people to contact, I'm hoping that's too much time, I think. That too. Sam says, finally getting comfortable with Wix, about to go live. Great. Great. Yeah, Wix is a great tool. What I like about it personally, and this is I don't get paid by Wix, but I've been using Wix for a couple of years now, and they continue to evolve and offer more and more functionality, new types of gadgets and things like that you can add to your website, new templates, things of that nature. So they do a pretty good job overall, and I find it very easy, quick and easy to update my website, which I appreciate. That's number one for me. It's a bit overwhelming at first. It can be if you're not used to doing something like that. The templates are nice, though. The templates are great because then you can just kind of plug in your own content where you need it in your own images and things like that. So I do like the templates are handy. Chris says he completed his revision of a 600-page document for your day job. This course material was on hold last week out of necessity. Yeah, 600 pages is, whew, that's a lot. And if it's single space, that's an extra lot. That's crazy. Gabrielle says, had a qualifying call with a prospect. I think I talked myself out of the job. The work they're interested in is work I suggested they wait a bit for, but it was good experience to have the call. It was with my uncle, but still, absolutely. Well, you know what's great, Gabrielle? So congratulations, because every time you have a call about, you start having these phone calls, you're going to learn something about yourself, about what you're doing, about what you could do better, right? Always the better next time. But what's interesting too, is I like that you, you were honest. I mean, obviously it's a relationship that you have with this person, but even with a complete stranger, you're having that first conversation. I always found that honesty served me very well, even in the beginning. If I connected with someone, yes, I was very hungry for that first job or that second job, that second project, but I always found that if I was honest, that always served me well in the long run, just because I wasn't maybe the right fit for the project that they needed. Or maybe it just, I felt, gosh, maybe we should, I need to talk this down a little bit. They're thinking too big. We need to back up a little, that kind of thing. That always works. It always will serve you well in the long run. So congratulations on that. Cheryl says, two big wins. Ooh, I was contacted last week via LinkedIn by a fellow I worked with on an SAP business warehouse project in Rotterdam almost a decade ago. Wow. Have not been in touch since the last time I wrote some programs for him in my former life. We had a long conversation. He was very encouraging. I'm taking it as a good omen. Also was contacted by the owner of my favorite local restaurant for one of my pro bono projects. Excellent. Stay tuned. Yes, we will. Keep us posted on Facebook if we don't, because these calls are about 2 weeks apart. So definitely keep us posted on Facebook on how that goes. Congratulations too. That's really great. Love it when someone is encouraging you. That's nice to hear. Laird says, signed up with three companies to analyze their blog and email copy, then approach them with samples. Great. Wow. Congratulations. That's terrific. Great work. Kelly. Hey, Kelly. She says, I asked a fellow freelancer to let me know if he ever had too much work and could use an extra hand. Surprise. Just days later, he asked me to write a byline for one of his clients. Hey, congratulations. That's terrific, Kelly. That's, it's such great experience. I worked for an agency for the first 2 years of my writing, freelance writing business. And it was challenging, very challenging at times. They didn't pay super well, but it gave me amazing, amazing experience. It was worth the time. So congratulations. And same thing. Keep us posted. Let us know how that progresses for you. It's amazing, sometimes you just got to ask. And there's a business is strong for writers. Business is very strong for writers right now with so much going on and people, in some cases people feel like they have to hold their breath. Maybe they're holding back on things with marketing. They don't want to seem, insensitive or anything like that. Writers are really a key right now for helping people craft their messaging. Really, really important. So it doesn't surprise me that he's interested. And Laird says, I didn't get the gig yet, but just an interest. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You're heading in the right direction. You're having the right conversations. Hey, Matt. Welcome. And Matt says, I started the B2B Launcher program in early April at the start of the COVID pandemic. Many stressors threw me away, of course, but in the past week, I restarted the program and now I'm working on updating the copy for my website. Hey, congratulations. Good for you. Yeah, this has just been such a strange season for everyone on the planet. So thanks for hanging in there and coming back around. Congratulations on that. That's really great and great to have you back. And hopefully you can power through and move forward and get started on this. So yeah, it's been a real strange season. So All right. Thank you. Thank you. Well, let's dive right in. We've got a nice group here today. And I would love for you to share your questions. I want to encourage you to be, to not be shy about sharing, asking questions. This is a great opportunity for you to ask any question under the sun that you might have in regards to the program and how it's working or not working for you, any place that you might be stuck or anything that you just aren't clear on, anything that you, any kind of support you might need. I want you to keep your, as it says on the slide, keep your question focused and specific as you can. And then one question per person. We've got a decent sized group here. I should be able to easily come back around at least once, if not twice, depending on how talkative you all are. And then let me know if you don't want me to unmute you. Sometimes I do ask for you to come on so that you can, for some clarifying and background information so that I can dig in and truly help, but not always. So, but if for some reason you cannot, if you're at a place where you cannot unmute and talk, then that's absolutely fine. So, right. All right. And I had it's been an interesting week for me in my business. Things are starting to they have been picking up actually over the course of the last month. I would say things are starting to turn around more for me. It got a little quiet. I had a couple of clients put things off, but things are starting to pick back up. So and that's good. That's all good. All good. So. Hey, Chris, thanks for the question. You're up first. Just a reminder too for everyone that this call is being recorded so that if you, for some reason, may have to sneak out early, you can always listen to it after, or for predominantly for those folks who are not able to attend real time, the recording will be up and available usually tomorrow, the day after. So, Chris, first question, any advice for proposing a white paper project without having a sample to a prospect? Pro bono or modest fee? All right. Chris, I want to ask you a question. I hope that's okay. I'm going to ask to unmute you.
Hi, Susan. How are you today?
Hey, great. Good to hear from you, Chris.
Same here.
So tell me a little bit just about the situation. In other words, what's the industry? What's this going to be about? And is it something that you are, what's your relative or relevant experience in that particular industry?
Well, that's the thing. It's pretty peripheral. I mean, yes, I've worked with tech companies as a technical writer for years. My target is going to be SaaS or software as a service
yep.
companies.
Yep.
And it occurred to me, and I did brought this up one previous time. If I already have a interest and experience with certain types of software, like learning management systems, stuff, you know, like for the small to medium kind of B2B customer, I thought, why not approach the owner of such a company or the marketing VP and say, hey, I read all your stuff. I want to pitch you an idea for a white paper that will help your bottom line in these ways. You know, because I've already studied your situation. I've seen what you have out there on your site. So it's almost like I'm proposing like a article to a magazine editor kind of thing, where I gotcha. Read your magazine mm-hmm. and now I want to come at this from this angle. I strongly feel it's going to really help get your message out there and show your value proposition to your clients. But then .. I'm making transition. I don't yet have a sample white paper, et cetera. So that's where it gets sticky. I don't know if I have to hold out and create a sample white paper first or not.
Yeah. Great question. So thank you for giving me a little bit of background there. So first off, no, Ed and I don't recommend that you create a sample without without having a client behind that sample, it's better to actually just, we both would recommend you just, you take a pro bono piece just to get that sample if that's what you want to do. So that actually, that makes more sense. So that being said, the other thing that I would do is do not bring up the fact that you don't have any samples. Leave that for them to ask instead. So if in in the course of the conversation, it comes up, then you can address it and say, you know, this, I don't have any samples to share with you. I have writing samples, but nothing that is actually a white paper, but I'm happy to share with you a number of samples of my writing. So, you know, you're at this point, you want to kind of minimize it or not make it a big deal. If they push, you know, and say, hey, well, why don't you have any samples? You can simply say, well, to be honest, it would be the first white paper I've ever written. And that being said, I definitely would, I'm very interested in the project and would consider doing something at a deeply reduced fee so that I can prove to you that I'm, you know, that I'm capable of doing this. So
I like that phrase. That's a very nice phrase. And a deeply reduced fee. That's very good.
That's all, because they're still, you're not saying, hey, I'll do it for free, right? And then if they kind of shift and, you know, and I'm hoping that you don't get here. So the whole idea, what I want you to kind of be thinking about is, so don't bring it up, right? That's number one. You don't have any samples. It's not a big deal. That doesn't mean you shouldn't talk to these people. We all start out in the same place with no samples for what we want to be doing. So, but you know, going in and really understanding, I would frame it for them as, you know, I took a look at some of the things you're doing. I really like the way you're talking about X, Y, and Z. And it occurred to me that a white paper might really be of benefit to take you, to keep you up with your competition. Or, you know, I've seen other companies like yours use white papers very effectively to gain market share or that kind of thing. So you also want to kind of drop in there that, hey, you know, other companies in the same space are using them and using them very effectively. So don't hesitate to say, hey, I've seen other companies do this really, really well. And I think this would serve you well as also, you know.
Right. Well, there's also the case where, and this, I've seen this a few times from some of the folks I've looked at, they already, let's say they already have a few white papers. So I could say something along the lines of, I've read all the white papers on your site. They're all excellent. I want to propose a piece on X, on, you know, this slice, this value proposition, this idea, and I will use all my other writing experience to use the other published white papers you have as a starting point for producing an exceptional piece for you.
Sure. So the other thing that I would just be careful about, and I don't know if this is just part of your background, but use the word, you know, propose and pitch and things like that. I would almost ask the question, you know, have you thought about doing a white paper that addresses this particular issue? Because I have some ideas about how you could leverage that, blah, blah, blah. So in other words, don't talk too much. I would just be careful about sounding using too much sales language in either your email or in your conversation.
Because people that is so subtle.
Yeah. People don't want to be sold. They want to buy, but they don't want to be sold to, right? That's, if you've been in sales for any amount of time, you've probably heard that before. So it's, you just want to be, just be careful. Just be careful about the words you use. Say, you know,
thank you, Susan.
Yeah. I've been thinking and I looked at your other white papers. Have you ever thought about addressing this topic in a white paper? I've got some ideas I'd love to share with you. Let me know when you're available or let me know if you're interested. You know, you don't want to be too pushy. This is a subtle business. And when you start the idea, I want to encourage you to go into it as a consultant with a consultant's mind. Even at this point, right in the beginning, the first person you're talking to is, you know, how can I help this person? And I think that they could really benefit from something like a white paper about this topic. So pitch it that way. You know, you're still pitching, but you're going about it in a much more, geez, you know, I think you'd benefit from this type of a topic. And I have some other ideas. I have some interesting ideas if, you know, I'd love to share with you. Let me know if you're interested. You know, keep it subtle right now.
That is so excellent. And I can actually almost hear Ed's voice echoing in the background, because clearly he had some very polished outdoor, like big league sales chops going into the craft, you know, and you learn that on the street, right, about how you phrase things, that subtle difference. And I really appreciate you pointing that out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I'm glad I brought you on, because that will make a difference for you. It's just, you know, take the slow. It's a marathon, not a sprint. We talk about that all the time. Just, you know, take it slow and say, hey, you know, I think this is a cool idea for you. I've got some others as well. Let me know if you'd like to set time to talk. Right. And leave it at that.
One other quick caveat to this. Sure. One of the guys I want to pitch, I'm actually a customer of. Mm. And I met him face to face at a conference and had some great conversations. He has a very small company has this amazing tool called Right Message that works in conjunction with ConvertKit, which is an email service provider. You know, so
okay.
I've been attending I purchased his expensive ConvertKit Masterclass in-depth training program, and I'm taking his extra workshops. And he's a developer, so he's like straight ahead. He's like, he doesn't BS. Like he instead of charging like $98.95, he'll charge, hey man, this is $100.
Right.
He's just one of these straight ahead guys. So so the question is, what would be too soon to even tiptoe in that direction with someone like that, you know?
Well, how long have you been involved with, you know, in taking these programs?
Well, this is over the last few months. I met him in person last summer.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. No, you can. I don't think it's too soon. I don't think so at all. Hey, you know, I've been working with your products. I really like them, or however you want to say it. And I've got some, again, I've got some ideas about maybe a different way, or either a different audience you could talk to, or a different way to present. Would love to just do some brainstorming with you if you're up to it. So again, this is a real non-sales approach. This is just, hey, I had some ideas. And
God, it's great how you just phrased that. It's just so, it just rolled right off your tongue there, Susan. That's amazing. I just want to brainstorm with you. See, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saying it like that. So that's really
absolutely
developed skill, it sounds like, to be able to
takes
do that.
A little practice, yes. Because especially in the beginning, you're like, oh, I really want some work. You know, you're anxious, right? I get it. So but give it, you know, just take a breath, step back and say, what would be a really great outcome? A really great outcome would be to build a relationship. That's what you're going for here. Is the first step is to build a relationship. Like, you know what, if I can do something for this person to help them, but I don't get anything out of it today, that doesn't mean I won't get something out of it a week from now, or a month from now, 6 months from now. Sometimes the sales cycle for these things takes a little bit of time, and they become a not yet ready. You've just built a really nice relationship where they feel comfortable, so that the next time you send them an email, they go, oh, hey, that was that Chris guy. What's he got going on? I wonder what he wants today. You know, they're going to look at your email as opposed to go, me. So that's the goal. Keep that in mind. You're trying to build a relationship first. And even if you don't get business on that first attempt, it'll take time.
Outstanding. Thank you very much, Susan.
Cool. And keep us posted. Let me know how that goes.
I sure will.
All right. Great question. Great question. You know, this is, there's a bit of strategy, and Ed talks about this all the time. And you know, I've been actually, it's funny that you say that, Chris, because I've been working with Ed now for over 2 years, helping him to coach this program and a couple of others. And he and I have the same approach. And that's part of why we kind of came together and thought, when he approached me, it was because we have the same philosophy and the same approach of, hey, you know what, how can I help you? And he's definitely that way. He's far more successful than I am, and has built quite a business for himself, and very admirable. But he's done it all in a way that feels good to him, that he's proud of, and it feels right. And that's what's important, is you know, being anxious is absolutely a given. It's part of beginning. It's part of the beginning stage of your business, but and being hungry for business, understood. But you want to think first things first is build relationships, and they'll take you far, far further than anything. Because that person could also end up being a source of referrals for you. What if they aren't ready or aren't interested? But you know, now that you mention it, there's somebody else that, you know, this friend of mine owns a business over here, or gosh, I mean, you know, this buddy runs the marketing department over here. You probably ought to talk to him. He might be interested. So it's not, it might be an opportunity again to build a relationship that grows into business in multiple ways. Awesome. All right, Gabrielle, you're up next. She asks, what do you think about approaching people on LinkedIn versus by email? A lot of the time I struggle to find an email address for a person in a company, but I can find someone who might be right on LinkedIn. I'm not just sure if it would be a place I could prospect. So Gabrielle, wondering, hold on, session 5, and I'm not sure if you're that far in the program yet. But session 5 is all about email prospecting. And there are two amazing, this is a shameless plug they call it. There's two trainings in session 5 that I did. They're two recordings about how to use LinkedIn. And so I love LinkedIn questions because I love LinkedIn. And 100% yes, approach people on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a tool. I like to refer to it as the world's largest networking event, but it happens to be online. It is a place where professionals come together. They put their, kind of hang their shingle out there. And yes, it had started out as a place where people would put their resume so that recruiters could find them, that they could find work. That's what LinkedIn started out as, but it has evolved over the 13 or 14 years that it's been around, maybe more than that. It's evolved into an amazing place to make connections and do business. So 100% yes. I get plenty of leads off of LinkedIn on an annual basis. And so for me, it's absolutely. And again, it's about your approach. Exactly what I was just talking about with Chris. It's a matter of not sounding salesy on LinkedIn. And I talk about that in my training. So if you haven't gotten to session 5 yet, definitely get to session 5. Watch those. I think they're both, there's two and they're like a half an hour a piece. So it's not, they're not super long. Basically going to explain to you how LinkedIn works, how it's different from Facebook, because it is very different, and then how you should work it. So how it works and how you should work it. And LinkedIn's a great place to find exactly what you said, Gabrielle, people in the right company. You find the companies that you're interested in, and then voila, there are all these people that are you know, in the right positions, and you want to reach out to them. Really some great ways to do that. There's a lot of folks out there that offer LinkedIn training too, and that might be something to consider at some point once you're done with, once you get through this program, is to poke around and see if you can find some additional trainings on LinkedIn. But it's a great tool. It's an amazing tool for reaching out to people that complete strangers. I have reached out to complete strangers, asked them to invite, invited them to connect with me and gotten business very quickly. I even use an example in the second part of that training, a woman that I just, you know, reached out and connected with, and we had mutual connections. There were other people that we both knew that, you know, that we were both connected to on LinkedIn. And I reached out, I said, hey, you know, I see you're doing this or that in my invite. I said, I'd love to be connected with you. She accepted. She said, you know, ironic that you reached out to me. I'm looking for a writer. And like within a week, I'd say within under 2 weeks, I had an $8,000 project from this woman. And I was just, you know, reaching out and being friendly. So LinkedIn is a powerful, powerful tool for finding work. So yes, definitely. And also know that that's what happens on LinkedIn. So people reach out to each other. They introduce themselves to each other. They connect and they do business. That's what LinkedIn is for. It's not like Facebook, where Facebook is very much a person, you know, really a personal platform where you're sharing, you know, a lot of different things. LinkedIn is all about business. It's all about business. So don't feel uncomfortable. Lots and lots of people are prospecting on LinkedIn. The difference between you and a lot of people should be the approach. And, you know, if you're too pushy and too salesy, you're going to turn people off. But you're going to do that if you were in person. You know, if you were too pushy and salesy in person, you would, you know, turn people off there as well. So it's no different. Treat LinkedIn the same and really just go out and, you know, compliment people. If you, one of the best ways to get on their radar, a little tidbit for you, is to, if you find somebody that you want to be connected with, before you invite them to connect, see what they're sharing on LinkedIn, what kinds of articles they're sharing, and make a comment. You know, if they've posted something, you can follow anybody on LinkedIn without connecting with them. So when they start sharing, when they're sharing articles, if they're making comments, you can jump in and also make a comment and be complimentary, and your name will start to come up on their feed and they'll see your name more. So it's a great way to just slowly start working your way in front of these people to let them know you exist. All right. Let me see. You did a follow-up. She says, okay, I've gone through all the sessions, but I'll rewatch your trainings. I just remembered them being about building a network rather than actively prospecting. I did learn a lot from them when I watched them. Thanks for doing those. I guess mentally I was just associating this program with email prospecting. Don't feel uncomfortable. That's a helpful tip. Absolutely. Yeah, LinkedIn is just such a cool tool and free. You know, at the free level, you can do a lot and get a lot of business. I actually have a paid subscription. I have the next level up because it's worth it to me to have that, to be active on LinkedIn and to make the connections that I need to make. It's a very powerful tool and for my marketing. So it's amazing to me how many people will come to me, contact me and say, oh, you know, I love some of the things you've been posting. So I thought I'd reach out. I'm ready to do business, and, you know, and I help people write books. So they'll come to me and say, geez, you know, I've been following you for a while. I really like what you're saying. I think I want to, can we talk? Perfect. That's what I'm looking for. So don't be afraid to use LinkedIn as a prospecting tool. It's powerful. Really powerful. And there's a lot of things. I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly what I talk about in the second one, how in depth I go in. But I think the second one goes a little more into depth about how to connect with people, how to start building your network and connecting with people, including prospects. Cool. Glad that was helpful. All right. Well, we've got a couple of other folks. Let's see. I think someone else snuck on. Matt, there's somebody here on the phone. I don't see a name, but welcome. Somebody here by phone. Great. So keep, definitely we've got plenty of time for questions. If you have more, if you have anything else that that you want to, that you need some support with or have questions about or unsure of. One thing I have done is, you know, Ed and I did another program, a training program for LinkedIn, and he has access to that in a couple of his other coaching programs, but it's like the next level up and it's a really cool program. But basically it's, don't let LinkedIn overwhelm you. So it's one of those things where don't go spending 3 or 4 hours a day on LinkedIn. Don't necessarily need to do that. You can spend a half an hour to an hour on LinkedIn and be really, really effective. And it's about going in and being, we like to talk about it as quality over quantity. So we want to make sure that we're making quality comments and taking our time and doing good things on LinkedIn. So for example, let's say that a prospect, I see that a prospect of mine has posted an article that maybe they wrote, or maybe it's one that they didn't write. It's just someone else wrote it, but they really liked it and they've posted it. They've shared it out. I want to take the time to read that article in full so that I know exactly what it said. And then I'm going to pick out something that I really liked and agreed with. And I'm going to go back on this prospect's post and make a comment and say, thanks so much for sharing this, Steve. I really liked the point about blah, blah, blah. So that it shows you took the time to read it, and that you're making a gracious and positive comment on the article that this person posted. And it can be simple. It doesn't have to be a big long paragraph. You can simply say, hey, Steve, you know, I really appreciated this article because, you know, the point about this really hit home for me. So thanks for sharing. That's it. But it gets your name in front of this person, shows that you're paying attention and that you actually care. Now, you're not going to do 30 of those a day because it's going to take you too much time, but you do one a day, maybe two. It's the time it takes to read the article, come up with a thoughtful response, and then post it so that they see you and that they see and that you're kind of engaging in the conversation. It's a great way to get in front of people. So hopefully that helps. It's just some thoughts, some food for thought as you're thinking about LinkedIn but slow down to speed up, as they say, and take your time with it. You know, read the articles, make intelligent, and thoughtful comments. The other thing I like to do is if the post has gotten a lot of comments, is I'll briefly scan through the comments to see what other people are saying. So for example, I had a very important connection who had gotten promoted to a very big job. That was a woman that I'd been friends with for a couple of years. And she's just an important person in my network. And she's connected to a lot of people that potentially could be my clients, that could be prospects for me. And she got this promotion. She got hired for this very important job. It was a national position. And so everybody, of course, there's, you know, 300, congrats, 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 boring, boring, boring. So I got on and I said, this company made an excellent decision hiring you. You are the perfect person for this job. And I know you'll bring them to new heights. Congratulations. So I just complimented her, saying, you know, what a brilliant choice by this company to bring you into this role. I know you'll be dynamite. You'll be fantastic in this role, and they'll be grateful that to have you on board. So it was just a nice, but it wasn't a, hey, congrats. It was something a little bit more, that I took the time to think about her and what she's capable of, knowing what she's capable of. And so what it did was then she turned around and responded and said, thank you. What was nice about all of that is that it got in front of her network. My name went out to her network, so people got to see what I wrote as well as her response. So, long story, but just wanted to share with you some ideas, hoping that gives you some ideas about how to use LinkedIn as you move forward. All right, Kelly, you're up next. Kelly has a question for anybody on the call. It looks like, how are other people pushing past fear and uncertainty? I'm just over here stuck on the very first module and feeling somewhat defeated about that. Don't do that. And so I definitely understand. So here's what you're thinking is, right now you're sitting back and you're probably thinking, oh my gosh, number one, what have I gotten myself into? Number two, this is way more. This is bigger than I realized. I've got so much to do, so far to go. One of the things I love about the B2B Launcher program is that it really does break this whole process down into bite-sized chunks. And what I don't want you to be thinking about is too far past where you are today. Look at what you're supposed to be doing today. What are you supposed to be working on in this module? And don't overthink it and think seven steps ahead going, oh my gosh, but then I've got to think about this. And then don't worry about what's ahead of you. Focus on what you're supposed to be working on and what you're supposed to be developing right now. And so module one is very much about your positioning and what your strengths are, who your where your network lies, what audience do you think you want to be targeting? What market are you going to target? Where are your strengths and your experience going to work and lend themselves best as you start to build your business. So you're very much in that preliminary place, and that's where I want you to focus. It's just, don't worry. Try not to think past that right this minute. Focus just on module one, number one. Fear and uncertainty is something that is inherent in business. I can tell you that in my experience, I've been writing now, professional writer, freelance writer for 7 years. And it was terrifying in the beginning because I didn't have an experience, I thought I wasn't a good writer. And I was tying those two things together. And Kelly, this might be part of what you're experiencing too, is, and nothing could be further from the truth. I say this all the time, you're a far better writer. The people on this call and in this program are far better writers than 90% of the people out there. And if you don't believe me, just go and read an email that you received recently from someone, right? Their writing is horrible. Their communication style is horrible. They don't know how to put three words together in a sentence. They don't know how to write a proper sentence. They don't understand how to write to an audience. They don't understand how to communicate clearly. There's so many things that people don't know how to do when it comes to writing. It's a lost art. And those of us who are comfortable with writing bring an awful lot to the table by the fact that we're comfortable with writing. So even though you don't have any experience as a writer, you're still a better writer than 95% of the people on the planet. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. If you think about, Chris was saying a little bit about this gentleman that he's thinking about approaching, and he was saying, you know, he's very direct and right to the point. He lacks a communication, an understanding of communication. So this is true of people who are in very technical positions, maybe an engineer or sometimes maybe even an accountant. Somebody who's very tech-focused or very analytical has a hard time, often can have a hard time communicating. And so they're the kinds of people that need our help more than anyone, really, because they're brilliant people. They just don't communicate well. And they need help. They need someone to come in and finesse things for them and create messaging that represents and warms them up a little, to be perfectly honest, you know. Someone who might be in, you know, in accounting, sometimes they can seem distant. They tend to be, you know, sometimes they can be introverted and distant. But that's not how you get business. They need to get business. That's where you can come in and help them by bringing that ability to write a proper sentence and to make them sound human. And that's the one thing that I think I want you to be thinking about is, if you think about the even emails that are supposed to be professional emails, I can't tell you how many mistakes I see, how many poorly written newsletters I see, or sales letters that you get, even in the mail, things like that. Think about the organizations that you're part of. It doesn't even have to be a complete stranger organization. Maybe it's an organization that you're part of, and maybe they don't really have anyone to write their communications for them. I actually volunteer for two different organizations that are just personal interests of mine, things that I'm involved in. They had no one to write their newsletters for them, and they desperately needed to communicate with their people, you know, with their audience, and communicate well. So I do a lot of writing for these two organizations to support them, and that's a way to start getting some experience and exposure too. By the way, once people start seeing your ability to write, they're going to want to know more. And it's, if you're looking for samples, volunteering is always a kind of a cool way to do that. Volunteer to do one piece, you know, write an article. Maybe they've got an event coming up and they need some PR. They need a press release or something like that. Go for it. Write, you know, do something like that to give yourself, it'll give you samples, but also give you experience. The other thing is it'll give you some confidence and get you off of the, I'm interested in having you change your mindset about how you're looking at yourself, because if you're feeling fearful and uncertain, it means that you don't think that you can write. And I don't even know if you can write or not, but I would guess you're in this program, you're probably a really decent writer. And we all start out as decent writers. It takes time to get to be a really great writer. And I'm still working on that myself. So don't feel like you're alone in being completely, you know, with zero experience. You have no experience. We all come into this, as I mentioned, with no experience. I did too. But as I got into it, I realized, well, now, wait a minute. I may not have any experience writing a white paper, but geez, I can put together a pretty darn good sentence and a good paragraph. And I really do know what I'm doing as far as a comfort level with writing. So think about all the horrible emails you get, all the horrible communication you get, and think, okay, how many times have you seen typos, or not even typos, but just sentences you got to read them three times and you still don't understand what they're trying to tell you. That's where you can come in. And I want you to start thinking about your abilities in that sense. And I hope that helps in terms of just getting you kind of outside, getting you a little bit unstuck. And if not, Kelly, feel free to add on to your question. I'm happy to bring you on. If you've got a specific concern, I'm happy to bring you on and hear about it. Great. Definitely. we all have been through this and all are going through that uncertainty. Like, oof, is anyone even going to believe me? Is anyone going to take me seriously? Yes. Yeah. If you take yourself seriously, they will take you seriously. And if you start off small, you think about some local companies, maybe that you know would be hungry for some help with writing. Start there. They're going to be thrilled to have you step in and maybe help out with, you know, writing a couple of articles or maybe some piece. Maybe they've been asked to write something for a local newspaper or, you know, provide some, you know, somewhere within their industry. Maybe they've been asked to put an article together within their industry and they don't even know where to begin. That's where you can come in and be a help. All right, let me see. I just want to make sure I didn't miss one. Gabrielle, related to Kelly's question, any suggestions for staying positive when prospecting? I'm determined to keep going, but when it comes down to repeating the effort over and over, it's draining. Yeah. Yes, it is. I agree. And I think that, Gabrielle, if you, and I know we've been on a few times, you've been on the call a few times. I think that it's, if you step back and you look at this journey as a multi-phase journey, this might help you, is that you're in phase one, all of you, everyone on the phone, everyone listening to the recording, you're in phase one of this journey. You're just getting started. You're just pulling your website together. Even if you've done some writing before this, this program, you're probably just getting started. Maybe you're trying to get into a new target market or something along those lines, but this should be relatively new and most of you are in the same place. So think of this as phase one and think about it in terms of, so what are the kinds of things that are characteristic of a phase one business? You know, think about a brand new restaurant that just opened. Back in the days when, before COVID, when you would go into a brand new restaurant and they were just such a mess inside. You know, you'd go in, you'd sit down and the waitress didn't really, you know what the specials were, or, you know, it took forever for your food to come out. And, you know, maybe it was cold when you got in and it wasn't quite what you ordered. And, you know, they're just like bumping into each other in the kitchen and they're brand new. They just opened and they're scrambling to try and make it work. And then you go back a month later, and all of a sudden it's settled down. Everything seems to be clicking. And, you know, they've worked all those kinks out. You're in the exact same place. And a restaurant isn't a great analogy. It is only in that it's so visible when a restaurant is new and they're struggling to try and get their legs under them. It's very visible. You know, you experience it firsthand in a brand new restaurant. And even with a seasoned business owner, someone who's maybe been in the restaurant industry, if they've, you know, even then they can struggle in the first few weeks, and maybe even the first few months of running a new business, starting a new business. So you're not experiencing anything that anyone else who started any kind of new business hasn't experienced. They're saying all the wrong things. They're doing all the wrong things, but that's what phase one is all about. Is to cut your teeth quite literally. You're trying things to see how they work. You're reaching out to people to see if they respond. You're building a website and trying to figure out, you know, let's see how that lands on people. Is it attracting their attention when I send them there? Are they staying? Are they asking for more information? Phase one is probably one of the hardest because you're just trying to get off the ground and everything is new. Everything is a learning. And so what I want to encourage you to do is think about when you get to phase two, like the restaurant, you come back a month later or 2 months later, and all of a sudden they've smoothed things out. They're in phase two. They've worked out all those kinks and they're starting to click and it's getting better. And maybe the reviews are getting better, right? Online, you see them on the different places online where, hey, you know, this restaurant's really getting their act together. Their food is fabulous, etc. Same thing's going to happen to you as you go through into phase two and phase three of building your business. So phase two, you're starting to get your act together. You're starting to know what to do. The thing that's common throughout that whole phase one, phase two, phase three, and beyond is the prospecting. And that's something that is never going to go away. And so what I would encourage you to think about, Gabrielle, is to reconcile with make peace with prospecting. That sounds corny, but it's going to be part of your process for as long as you are a freelance writer. It's going to be part of the process. And it's making peace with it and figuring out. And again, if what you're doing doesn't seem to be working, step back and assess. What have I been doing? Have I followed exactly what Ed told me to do? Am I using the scripts and adjusting them for my needs? Am I using the templates? Am I doing it with the frequency he recommends? Make sure that you're following the recipe and that he subscribes or that he's prescribed and make sure that you're doing the things that he recommends. Adjust day at a time, day at a time, day at a time. So go back, make sure that you're on point with what he recommends and keep trying it and keep going. Because it takes time. Like I was saying earlier about connecting with someone, you never know. They might say, yeah, I'd be interested, but I'm not ready right now. Call me back in 6 months. My sales cycles for the type of work that I do now are a year. It typically takes me a year to land a client and get started on a book project with them. It's crazy. If I didn't have the patience to wait for these people to come back around, I'd be working at the local, you know, I'd be a barista because I wouldn't, you have to have the patience for this cycle to take a full turn. And so that's the hard part about phase one, because it feels like you're doing all this stuff and nothing's happening and nothing's happening. I want to encourage you to think about volunteering. I want to encourage you to think about doing some pro bono work for different small businesses in your area just to get some experience. It's going to feel like you're making progress. Even though you're not getting paid necessarily, you're going to feel like, oh, I can do this. Oh, the first time somebody comes back to you and says that article you wrote was fantastic, you're going to feel amazing. It feels amazing to get praised in the beginning. So I want you to be thinking about, what kinds of things can I do that are non-paying just to get me some momentum? This is all about momentum. And in order to get you through phase one and into phase two, you need to get that momentum. But remember that prospecting is going to be a common thread throughout every phase. And it'll get easier. It's just the first phase can feel very dry. Like I am working my tail off and nothing is happening. That's true. The other thing I want to encourage you, Gabrielle, is to think about if there's a script that you're using when you're talking to people, or maybe it's an email that you're sending out. If you want Ed and I to review it, feel free to post it in the Q&A section on the Facebook group. And Ed will jump in, we'll both jump in, and if you want to fine-tune some things, happy to do that if you're in that part of the program. So, you know, we're here to help you fine-tune. But it is, I understand how draining it can be. But sometimes it's making, you know, just trying some different things. Like I said, the, you know, maybe some volunteer or pro bono work will be just the thing to make you feel like, ooh, okay, it'll give you a boost. It really will. And I see Laird made a comment here. Thank you for jumping in. He said, I understand how you feel. I do. I've seen many people shoot past me with success and it makes me feel discouraged. I've been stuck several times in the B2B program since I signed up last December and I don't have even my first client yet. However, I'm committed to being a copywriter. I feel that the floodgates can happen anytime. Very true. But my mindset is to make it a routine and just keep at it. So you're not alone. So thank you, Laird, for sharing that. That comment. I agree. This can be a tough business. And it's part of why Ed designs his programs with groups of people, because it is extreme. It can be incredibly isolating and lonely to be a work from home freelance writer. You're just, you know, I have my two dogs laying here. They don't care. They've heard my story too many times. But it's nice to have other people to bounce ideas off of and, you know, to help kind of buoy you up when you're feeling like, oh, this is a slog. I don't think it's going to work. I also encourage you to try everything that Ed outlines in this program. So if you've been hesitant to reach out to your network, do it. I got my very first major client from my first round of emails, my first email blast to my network. I was scared to death to send the email. I had all the stories playing in my head about people are going to hate me. They're going to be annoyed. What if they, you know, they never talk to me again? What if they, you know, I had all these stories running through my head and just was so hesitant to send that email to my network, which I had spent a career growing. And what are they going to think of me? And blah, blah, blah. Yes, I had all those things running through my head. And when I finally hit send, not everyone responded. I sent out quite a few emails. Not everyone responded, but the people who did were incredibly supportive and said, congratulations, that's great, good for you. I got a lot of really positive feedback, which made me feel better. And I got a very large client out of the deal, a woman that I had been connected to, professional acquaintance, someone I'd met 6 years before. And she said, so glad you sent this email. We happen to be looking for a writer. Give me a call. And that turned into, in the first year, it was a retainer project. Her company became a retainer client for me. The first year, $10,000. Second year, I think I was up to 30. And then the third year, yes, I got a 3-year retainer client out of my network on the first round of emails. And I think the third year I was more up like around 40,000 for that 1 year of all different kinds of projects for them. So if I can encourage you to use your network, please use your network. Don't hesitate to do that. Make sure that you're firing, you're trying everything that Ed suggests, including local businesses. I know I've talked a little bit about that today, is looking for opportunities to do some pro bono work with a local business, making friends with the right people on LinkedIn, you know, connecting and building relationships. This all takes time. This does not, sometimes, now I lucked out. I was completely lucked out with that one story I told you about, that one woman. I mean, literally it had been 6 years since I spoke with her and she was thrilled to hear from me. Timing was right. That was probably the only lead. Maybe I got one other. But that's just the nature of this business is, you know, take your time and try things, even if it feels uncomfortable. And if it feels uncomfortable, then that's okay because this is all new. I have gotten a little bit more, I guess, brave or gutsier over the years in terms of reaching out on LinkedIn. And I'm not salesy or pushy, but I reach out to big name people because, you know, or someone that in my market is a big, you know, would be really a stretch. But I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing this for quite a few years. So for me to reach out, you know what? What's the worst thing they can do? not respond or say, no, I'm not interested, that's okay. So, you know, you want to think about this in terms of what's the worst thing that can happen if I reach out to people? And you just never know. It's amazing. I've heard some amazing stories coming out of this program and people in this program and some of the other programs I work on for Ed, just trying things. Yeah, you know what? I tried it and guess what? It was amazing how well it worked. Didn't expect it to. Surprised me. So don't be, you know, don't hesitate to reach out and try a little bit of everything. And same thing with you, Laird. You know, I know it's taken some time and it sounds like you got stuck, you know, as you were saying. Very, very cool that you were, you know, willing to share that. I appreciate it. I hope that's been helpful. I know I've been chatting away here, but I hope it's been, I wanted to share some stories of some things that I've experienced as well as others, that just hopefully help you broaden your perspective a little bit. This is the hardest part of this program, is to start. It really is. And then to stick with it when it feels like it's not going anywhere. All right. Let me just take a quick look here. And Gabrielle has a comment for you as well. I give myself time to feel whatever it is for a moment or a few minutes in the morning and then say, okay, now I'm moving on and we'll focus on work for the day. I just, I don't tell myself I need to get over the feelings, just that I'm not going to let them direct my whole day. I hold space and acknowledge those feelings and even tell myself I can go back and feeling them later once I get to the end of my day. That's a great strategy, Gabrielle. Thank you so much for sharing that. Because we can't pretend that we don't feel uncomfortable or uncertain or frightened, perhaps. But it's not something that should direct your day. And I love that. So, Gabrielle, thank you so much for sharing that that suggestion. That's great. And if anyone else has any ideas or tips for ways to that you've gotten yourself unstuck, maybe that you've gotten over a hurdle, that's definitely feel free to share in the chat. And I am going to move on. We have time for more questions. I'm just going to move on to a question for all of you. Would love to hear what your top takeaway has been from our conversation today. If there's any one thing that we've talked about that really kind of seemed to resonate with you and really made sense, feel free to type in the chat. Let us know. I'd love to hear from you. All right. Gabrielle sharing some support. Thanks for sharing your determination, Laird. It's motivating. I agree. And, you know, the other thing, too, to keep in mind is that this is a strange season we're in, for sure. And so that added on top of trying to start a business, trying to start your freelance business, I can understand why you're feeling uncertain. I understand why you're feeling fearful. You would feel that way in a normal, you know, pre-COVID, you would feel that way. But then you add this situation on top of it, that really intensifies those feelings. So don't feel like, gosh, you know, this isn't going to work. Quite the opposite. You know, honestly, now is the time. And then, you know, we have all these other issues that have come up recently. You know, we've got a lot of, you know, politics is starting to heat up. We've got, certainly here in the US, you know, we've got other situations that we've been dealing with as a country. And it's a pretty strange season. So don't, keep in mind that there is that added pressure of the environment that we're dealing with right now. And I think that may very well be throwing you off a little bit too. So give yourself some space and some grace for that, to deal with that as well. But as I know Ed has mentioned a few times, and certainly I know we've talked about before in different calls, this is an opportunity. Honestly, people are struggling with how to communicate through COVID in particular, as well as other situations that have come up recently in regards to, you know, racial topics and things of that nature. Businesses are struggling with how to come across not seeming insensitive or too pushy or any of those things right now. How do I continue to be effective in business? Right now, it's a great time to be a writer and to be able to step forward and help companies and businesses, you know, continue to fine tune their marketing message so that they're appropriate for the environment that we're dealing with right now. Chris, thank you for your comments. He's sharing a great daily practice. He said it helps me to purge negative thought and mental clutter by writing morning pages each day. The artist's way. Morning pages. Ed does that as well, by the way. That's his daily morning pages is something. It's a free form writing practice. It takes about 20 minutes each morning. Only rules, you're not allowed to edit, revise, or rewrite what you write. And you must fill 3 pages of handwritten words. That's a powerful way to tell your inner critic to shut the F up. I love it. Ed is a huge fan of morning pages and does the same thing. I'm not sure he writes 3 pages worth, but I know he does that and he's recommended that before. I started a while back, a couple of years ago, with morning pages. It's a great suggestion. So thank you, Chris, for sharing that. It's a powerful tool. And it's free form and it's stream of consciousness almost. So whatever pops into your head, it could be, I've got to remember to take the trash out. You know, it could be, gosh, that person that I talked to yesterday really annoyed me. Or it could be just, you know, anything that comes to mind. It's a great way to dump all that stuff that's crammed into your head. It's a great way to get it out and make it, just get it, just clear your mind. It really is. So that's a great, great suggestion. Yeah. Gabrielle says she writes in the morning as well. And that the length varies. Same here. I do journaling. I'm more of a journaler. I like to write about, you know, what I'm, you know, a little bit more on a more personal side, but your morning pages can be as personal because they're for your eyes only. I mean, no one's going to see them, but it's just, there's something about handwriting too, that's very therapeutic. So it's a great way to get process things and get them out of your head. Sam said, I've been doing morning pages for 11 years, plus meditation, plus Elevate Brain training are part of my daily ritual. That's great. Thank you for sharing those things. You know, all of these tools that you're sharing are perfect for where you are right now. Perfect for where you are right now. Meditation, the Elevate Brain training, all of these tools. Pick and choose, you know, find the one that works for you, obviously, or maybe more than one. But try them and see if it helps. It's, you know, right now it's all hands on deck. You're going to do everything you can to maintain a positive mindset so that you can keep going. You know, you want to be able to do this because I can tell you that every phase, I've been talking about business having multiple phases. And when I was business coaching, I used to be a business coach for years, I did that. And when I was business coaching, I would basically talk about your business as a child. So when it's an infant, there's a certain way that you care about your business. When it gets into toddler phase, you start to, you take care of that business a little bit differently, just like you would your child. When your child gets into elementary school and they get into high school, college, et cetera, as your child grows and changes, its needs, that child's needs change, and what they need from you changes, your business is the exact same way. What you need to do and the types of support and the types of things you need to do for your business when it's an infant, it's in its infancy, which it is right now, it's going to be so different than when it's in high school, right? And so on. And that's, you know, so each stage is going to have its challenges. Setting up a routine like morning pages or meditation, that's awesome for every stage. That's going to help you through every single stage of this journey. So I'm thrilled that you guys are using those things and that you're sharing those ideas here. Cheryl says, morning pages are a better way to start the morning instead of obsessing on Facebook and CNN. Absolutely. Gonna start tomorrow. Great. Great, great. And don't hesitate to use Facebook. Let us know how that works out. Try it for a few days and tell us what kind of a difference you're seeing, if it's helping. Yeah. And then Chris said there's a Morning Pages book from Cameron, which only focuses on that. Yeah, great stuff. Very, very good. Sam says, takeaway is your insights on the power of LinkedIn. I never really used it, but I noticed that I have almost 600 connections. Certainly there are good prospects in there. Absolutely. And you've got 600 connections. That's fantastic. And there may not be, maybe prospects, maybe as Ed talks about, helping hands or gold nuggets or, different types of people within your network that could help you get connected to the right prospects. So good for you. Laird says LinkedIn articles also comment on other people's posts. Yes. Yes, yes. Cheryl says, I've had that book for years. Didn't do morning pages because I was working and only got up at the last minute. Retired now, so I'm in control of my days. Just a little hard getting used to that fact. Oh, it's a great, great new habit. The other book that I recommend, if you haven't read it, is James Clear. And he wrote Atomic Habits. And he talks about habit stacking. It's a great book. Actually, Ed had him as a guest on his podcast. So if you go to Ed's, if you go to the B2B launcher and go to the podcast and look up James Clear, and it's clear just as it sounds. He is a great guy. The book is wonderful. I read it once so far. I really need to go back and read it again because it's been a while. Great, great way to help you understand why habits are so powerful and how to develop them the right way. So, you have that one too, Cheryl. Listen to the podcast about the book. Read the book. It's an easy read. I mean, it's not super long. It's an average size in terms of a business book, average length, but it's an easy read. He's a good writer. I actually get his, James Clear. I go to his website and sign up for his weekly email. Yeah, Chris, Atomic Habits is amazing. Very much so. His website, Atomic Habits, and sign up for his weekly, every Thursday, he sends out this really great newsletter. And it's great because it is super short. It's like three thoughts for this week, three things to think about. And it might be a quote from him, a quote from someone else, and then, a to-do. And he asks a question at the end. So what are you going to do about this today? It's just great because it's quick, easy, and it's powerful. So definitely, definitely check out his James Clear and it's Atomic Habits. Yeah, great book. And I love his newsletter. I love the way he styled it is great because it's very, very short. You'll enjoy it. It's a quick, easy read. Yeah. Cheryl, I have a lot of crazy habits I need to break, and one of which is reading books about better habits. I love it. 3, 2, 1 every Thursday. There you go. That's it. I couldn't remember the name of it. I read it every Thursday and I couldn't remember the name of it, but thank you for sharing that, Chris. It is good. Good, good, good. Well, thanks everybody for sharing. And I'm glad that I'm, it's amazing. Sometimes just a book like that can really, turn things around for you. And if you're feeling uncertain, one of my other favorite books is Jen Sincero wrote You're a Badass. It's a great book. It's laugh out loud funny, a really fun read. And it's hysterical. It's just great to read, but it's all about recognizing your value. And it's such a great book. Anyway, I refer to it often. And she's got a couple of books, but her very first one, her original was You're a Badass. And it's so funny. It's just fun to read. And it really is inspiring. So just all the ways you need to get out of your own way. And she talks about that and takes that bull by the horns and takes that topic head on. And she's really fun. There's a little bit of profanity, but nothing too nasty, but she's just so, she's very funny. It's a good book and another easy read. So, all right. Well, my last question for all of you is what your top action item is going to be in the next week or so. We've got 2 weeks before we meet again, more towards the end of the month, and would love to hear about anything that you are going to be focused on in the next week or so. What's one thing? And it doesn't have to be anything we talked about today, but just what are you going to work on in the next week? I'd love to see that. All right, Gabrielle says leveling up my LinkedIn knowledge. There you go. Great. Matt's going to finish web copy for his site. Awesome. And submit it for review, definitely. Good for you. Cheryl says adding, I think changing some of my habits is critical and adding some structure and discipline to my days. Absolutely. Whew. Structure and discipline are a saving grace for me. I'd never get anything accomplished if I didn't have a pretty strict schedule. I develop it week by week, sometimes 2 weeks at a time, depending on what kind of projects I'm working on. But I wouldn't get anything accomplished if I didn't have that structure and then stick to it. If it's on my schedule, my schedule is my to-do list, is the way that I build it. So good for you, Cheryl. Yeah, I think you'll find that to be very empowering too. Makes you feel like, ooh, I'm in control, sort of. Chris says, finish modules 1 and 2 and redo the exercises. Great. Cheryl says, I've been so burned out from work that I've been in kind of a free fall for 2 years, but time to move on. Good for you. Good for you. It is time to move on. The world is changing. And it's always good when the world changes because it opens up opportunities for all of us. So keep that in mind. Sam is going to begin session 4, which requires a completed website, and you're almost done. Yay. That's awesome. Awesome. Laird says, dissecting copy and continuing to contact cold prospects in industries outside of my specialty. Great. Awesome. Well, thank you everybody for being here. Thank you for participating. We had some good conversation, some good chat in the chat box there. Great to see you all sharing your ideas with each other and putting in the support. Feel free to continue to do that. You know, take this over to LinkedIn. LinkedIn, oh my gosh, listen to me. We were talking about LinkedIn. Facebook, jump in the Facebook group and don't be shy there either. You know, there's a lot of people in the Facebook group. Ed and I are there pretty much every day. I'm there every day. There's other support people from his team. We're there to help you and to help you through these times. If you get stuck, don't hesitate to reach out. That's what we're here for, to get you through this program, to get you off to a strong start. So great to have you all here. Thank you for attending and thanks for participating. And I will see you guys all on Facebook. Have a great rest of your week. Take care.